Knowing that on any given night in Minnesota, 20,000 people, including children, seniors, and veterans, are homeless is bad enough. But the findings of the Wilder Research Study take on a new significance in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly that almost 60% of homeless adults have a chronic physical health condition. Leaders from organizations across Minnesota that provide shelter and services to people experiencing homelessness came together online yesterday to provide an idea of the extraordinary public health and safety challenges involved and to ask the Minnesota legislature for help. You will hear Tim Marks. He's the president and CEO of Catholic Charities of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Lee Stewart, the executive director of CHUM here in Duluth. Rhonda Ottison, the executive director of the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless. And Monica Nilsson, longtime advocate for homeless people in Minnesota. Then Lee Stewart and Rhonda Ottison, each once again.
In our shelters and emergency centers, I think an analogy is that we are operating field hospitals for the poor. But if you are in shelter, it is simply an oxymoron to have shelter as it exists now and appropriate social distancing. One particular thing that I think is really important is how we provide access to food. Food for those whom we serve is medicine, just like good shelter is healthcare. And so we're making extra effort to provide a means by which people who are served food can do so in a social distance. We're serving meals or arranging shifts, having only two people at a table in our housing. We're trying to have more meals delivered to a central place, trying to facilitate perhaps meals being delivered to rooms in our congregate housing. Doing all of those strategies, as I know my colleagues are, the best they can under the circumstances that we have. But we must change the circumstances with the type of relief and support in hotels and arenas that my colleagues have talked about. Otherwise, the circumstances of spread among those who are experiencing homelessness and the broader community will occur, and we won't flatten that curve as the Walz administration and others are trying to help us do.
Last night, we had 100 people at CHUM, 60 in the dorms and 40 in the drop-in center. We also had 35 people who were sleeping at Gloria Day Lutheran Church as part of our winter warming centers. We can barely maintain safe distance in the dorms. The drop-in center is a challenge, and Gloria Day is a challenge. Over the course of the day, over 100 people will come through the drop-in center. We've been screening people who feel sick or who are coughing for fevers for the last 6 days. We have no fevers yet, but we do have a path to the hospital if we ever get one. We're really grateful for the outstanding leadership from St. Louis County Public Health on helping us create a plan and pathway from a positive test in shelter to isolation and quarantine. If there's an infection in shelter, it's going to go like wildfire. We'll have a lot of people who have contact and a lot of people very vulnerable for contracting the infection and probably having a worse outcome. The plans are rapidly coming together for that path to isolation and quarantine. They're going to be very, very expensive. We need the support to do that. And St. Louis County needs to be able to get support from the state to be able to help with that. Our concern now is also towards the unsheltered population, which is about probably another 150 living in woods or places where people are not fit for human habitation. We need to make sure that they're included in the pathway for screening, for isolation, for quarantine. As I said, St. Louis County is helping with this. They've had a task force that is at least four people. That includes public health, emergency services, contracting, mental health, so that we can have the wraparound services that people will need.
One of the most startling and concerning statistics in the report as it relates to COVID-19 is that 57% of the homeless adults have a chronic physical health condition, putting them in grave risk if they contract COVID-19. Another deeply troubling issue is the number of people that are unsheltered or living in doubled up situations where their stay is tenuous. This increased, like Tim said, by 62%. In a time when we are supposed to be social distancing to protect our neighbors, and so we don't overwhelm the limited capacity of the healthcare system, we have thousands of people in Minnesota living in spaces that were not designed for social distancing.
perhaps if anything good can come from this time, it's that we recognize that emergencies cost more than stability. And providing these emergency services very expensively wouldn't have to happen if people had housing. So a year from now, when this has passed, and we're talking about housing people, we can actually save money, because people maybe don't realize that homelessness is more expensive than housing.
But if we were really to end homelessness in St. Louis County, I figure we would need $150 million to create the type of housing that we would need to meet the, so that we would have very, very few people experiencing homelessness here. That's the ultimate solution. I know the question was asked about kind of this emergency response, but I'd like to keep it in perspective of what's really necessary is a path towards housing for people, so that where they're not sleeping in their cars, they're not sleeping on the streets, they're not crowded into shelters.
First, shelter and housing providers should be eligible providers under the healthcare funding. Like Tim pointed out, they are on the front line of providing services to the most at-risk populations. Emergency shelters and services need resources similar to healthcare providers, skilled nursing facilities, and others who serve and support high-risk, vulnerable populations. Like hospitals and skilled nursing facilities, people experiencing homelessness stay in congregate care settings and spend time in shared spaces while seeking critical services. Second, increased funding for emergency shelters to remain open and for alternative methods to house people during the COVID-19 pandemic. At-risk populations should have the opportunity to be housed in safe settings during this time, which means social distancing. Examples of this would be moving people, elderly folks, or those with compromised immune systems to hotels. Furthermore, the Minnesota Homeless Fund grantees only receive funding for the cold months, and many will close soon without additional resources. And third, support funds for rental assistance to prevent homelessness. This funding is critically important, as thousands of Minnesotans have lost their jobs. By increasing funding for programs that assist with past due rent and mortgage payments, we can stabilize individuals and families and prevent homelessness from occurring. We also can't lose sight of longer-term solutions and investments needed to increase housing stability. That's why MCH and our members will continue to advocate for three key legislative priorities. First is a $50 million investment to expand and preserve emergency shelter beds. Second, a $15 million investment to strengthen the Emergency Services Program, which is a program that provides funding for street outreach, shelter staff, and operations. And third, a $500 billion investment in bonds for housing to preserve and build quality homes across the state.
That was Tim Marks, President and CEO of Catholic Charities of St. Paul in Minneapolis, Lee Stewart, the Executive Director of CHUM here in Duluth, Rhonda Otteson, Executive Director of the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless, Monica Nilsson, longtime advocate for homeless people in Minnesota, then Lee Stewart and Rhonda Otteson once again. The Minnesota legislature appropriated $200 million for health care relief to fight COVID-19, and these leaders are asking that organizations caring for people without homes be made eligible for these funds. In addition, they're asking for significant additional robust COVID-19 related relief immediately, and to include services to people experiencing homelessness as essential services to be funded.